Good morning and Merry Christmas, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have reports and tips from Jarrett McCarthy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then we have a very interesting talk with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Tom Leahy. And then lastly, some ice fishing crappie tips from Hayward Area Fishing Guide Kyle Sorensen. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Hayward Power Sports wants to make sure you're ready to hit the trails next spring. No matter where you ordered your new Polaris side-by-side or ATV from today, you wouldn't have it for Christmas. But the longer you wait to order, the longer you'll have to wait to enjoy it. Imagine the work you'll get done with a Polaris Ranger with features like an electronic cargo box lift. The Polaris Razor is a choice for thrill-seeking adrenaline junkies everywhere. And the Polaris General is the world's most comfortable and powerful crossover machine. All three have exclusive features, including the 7-inch ride command display with GPS and group ride feature that syncs your group to keep communication and pace. Plus, there's the awesome Rockford Fosgate audio system. And ATV purists, don't forget about the machine that started it all, the legendary Polaris Sportsman. Plus, during the Polaris Holiday Sales event, there are even special offers for veterans and farmers. Come in and order yours today at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Offer valid through 12/31/21. See Hayward Power Sports for details. Always wear a helmet, never drink and ride.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward. We're talking with Jarrett McCarthy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And Jarrett, it finally got cold. I mean, he had that warm up and that kind of got rid of some of the snow, which we didn't. We wanted snow, but we wanted better ice too. And that kind of made the ice a little bit better, quite a bit better with this cold come through.
It really did. We had those couple days of warm temperatures come through, pretty much knocked out all the snow that we had up here, which was perfect because now that it's cold, we're adding a great base layer to the ice. And, you know, after we get a solid base layer of ice, now we can go ahead and re-add that snow back on. But we wanted the good ice before we wanted the snow.
You need the snow, though, for all the tourism and the snowmobiling and that stuff and the skiing, too. And I'm sure we'll get some as we get in here into January here. As far as the fishing, been quite a few guys getting out.
Yeah, definitely a lot more so now that we had some cold weather, really stiffened up the lakes. But fishing has been fairly good as of lately. A lot of guys getting out, getting some walleyes. I know that there's some really good panfish bites going on right now. And then, you know, your odds and end angler that are out there looking for bass and northern and what have you through the ice.
Yep. Yeah, but it'll probably be another week or two yet before we're getting where we got pretty good ice for, heavier vehicles and stuff.
Yep. We're right on the edge right now. It seems like most lakes have anywhere from 4 to 6 inches. So, you know, you're really looking to get into that 6 to 8 inch range before you start thinking about taking a side-by-side or a wheeler out there. But that's just right around the corner.
Yep. And then vehicles, definitely more than that even. As far as the pan fishing, guys finding deeper fish or in the weeds yet? Where are they finding them?
It's kind of intermixed. I mean, we've got a really good basin bite going on right now for some crappies, and the bluegills are just starting to head out a little bit deeper, but there's still plenty of fish right up in the weeds as long as you can still find those green weeds. And, you know, it should be a lot easier to get a hold of some green weeds now that we got those. Now that we got that snow off the ice or what have you, so we can still get some light penetration down there. But, yeah, there's fish in all spots.
Yeah, and in green weeds, we've talked about that many times. Green weeds are a big factor. You want to kind of look around and try to find the greenest weeds you can find. And different types of weeds tend to die quicker than other weeds in different depths and stuff.
Yep, they do. And, you know, those green weeds, those are going to hold all your insects, which will obviously dry your panfish. And then, you know, you can even set up dip up rigs and what have you, because where there are panfish, there will be game fish as well.
Yeah. You know, the transition, too, once you go off that weed edge in that lake level, kind of tapers off or levels out. And you get that softer bottom. there'll be bloodworms and stuff like that hatching out there over the wintertime, and that's what tends to attract a lot of the perch and a lot of the panfish at that time.
It really does. You know, those softer bottoms out in the basins, your perch and your crappie, that's where they'll start off when you go out there early winter and they're in the basin. They're on bottom. They're looking for those bloodworms. They're looking for everything that's coming out of the mud. And as we go throughout winter and we lose oxygen on that bottom level of the lake or what have you, that's when you start to see those fish suspend. They slowly start to rise, and that's when you really get into some aggressive panfish bites out there. But right now, weed bite, bottom of the basin out there, there's fish roaming.
More of a finesse presentation, or are you getting some reports on aggressive stuff like small jig and spoons and stuff on the panfish?
Yeah, there's definitely some aggressive bites out there right now, especially with crappies.
Yeah, that's one thing that people want to try is they kind of neglect that. We know we go after jig and spoons for walleyes and stuff, but there's little tiny, I know Northland has some, and there's a whole bunch of different kinds of tiny jigging spoons that work really good, not just for crappies, but bluegills as well.
Oh, yeah, and it's usually the best thing to start with when you go try out a new bite. When you go find any new spot in your market fish, put down your most obnoxious, you know, big, you know, bait that you've got in your box that you feel comfortable using, because, you know, you're not only selecting for the biggest fish, but you're also selecting for the most aggressive fish in the school. And then as soon as, you know, your bigger baits aren't working for your crappies, your big bull bluegills, then you can tone it back, and then you can go finesse. But there's no reason to start finesse every time if you know you got some willing fish down there.
How about walleyes? You hearing much on the walleyes right now? That's been an evening bite from what I'm hearing, even after dark on some of the Clear Lakes.
Evening and morning from what I've been hearing so far, and it seems like the walleye are still up in that 5 to 12 foot range, roaming weed lines. They're looking for panfish that are up in the shallow waters. It really is, you know, a really good after dark bite, and right at dusk too, right at prime time or what have you. But a lot of walleyes being caught up here right now.
Mostly tip-ups from what you hear?
Yeah, yep, mostly tip-ups. Shiners, suckers, just got to make sure you're doing your research before you put a tip-up down there. You know, take your underwater camera out, take your electronics out, make sure you're getting right along that weed line. You know, don't just go put a tip-up out in the middle of nowhere. You know, do your homework on that.
How about pike? You know, there seems to be a good pike population in a lot of lakes, and actually there's quite a few lakes up here where the DNR and stuff is encouraging harvesting those mid-20-inch fish.
Yeah, they're really good to eat, too. Got really healthy pike populations up here right now. I've been seeing a lot of them put on the ice, too. A lot in that 24 to 28 range up here. But those are, you know, you're really good eaters. You pike that you use to pickle or, you know, run a fillet off is just getting the wide bones out that scares a lot of people.
And I know you guys are pretty well geared up here, and you got just about everything you getting anything new coming in yet at all, or you pretty much got everything in now?
Well, we got the StrikeMaster Pro Lithium lights. You know, it's a 40-volt head on a the plastic blades or what have it. Really good for early ice, you know, and it's got more power, and you'll get more battery life out of it. But, yeah, we've got just about everything that you're looking for when you stop on in.
You know, electric augers, that's a big deal. It has been a big deal for the last few years, and it's a lot lighter. You don't have to worry about the carburetors getting gummed up or anything, or you got to worry about whether it starts or not. You just push the switch, and it starts, and they drill holes, lots of holes. Yeah, I know you've got some, the augers, too. I think I saw you had some StrikeMaster lights that go on electric drill, like a DeWalt drill and stuff, too. So you got a lot of different options there.
A lot of different options. And now that we're approaching, you know, 5-6 inches of ice, you know, spud bar is not really a great option anymore unless, you know, you lose a bed out there on the ice. Hand augers are going to be out the door here pretty quick with all the cold, so... You know, why not go electric?
You know, a lot of guys got the misconception that, you know, electrics are not good once you get 20, 24 inches of ice. And I've been drilling for the last few years electric with electric drill on an auger going through 2 foot ice, no problem.
Yep, I've been doing the same. They are the cat's meow. I love the electric augers.
Yep. Yeah, and anything else you need in here, they pretty much got it, I think, right now for winter fishing out there.
We got everything you need and more.
Thanks a lot for coming on here and talking about stuff.
Thanks for having me again, John.
Yep. Well, folks, you know we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine folks that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we talk ice fishing with local Hayward Area fishing guide Tom Leahy. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hunters and Anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in Hayward. They have a huge selection of ice fishing gear, including portable shelters, power augers, electronics, beaver dam tip-ups, ice rods, and just about anything you'll need for ice fishing. They also have archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzle loaders, ammo, and much more to help you enjoy the outdoors. While you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin, welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
The Hayward Power Sports Showroom is jam-packed with Ski-Doo apparel and accessories. Hats, bibs, gloves, jackets, boots, helmets, and much more. To ensure a great selection, we placed a huge order. Come in and shop for yourself or the Ski-Doo enthusiast on your gift list. And if you missed out on ordering a new sled this past spring, let Hayward Power Sports breathe new life into your existing machine with a great selection of genuine Ski-Doo snowmobile parts and accessories. Come to Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on lodging and vacationing here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, you know, one of the guides that we get on here quite often is Hayward Area Fishing Guide Tom Leahy, and I had a chance to talk to Tom the other day on the telephone about ice fishing.
Tom, you know, we had kind of a strange start out this fall, just like last spring, but, you know, we had extremely warm weather, and then it got cold, and then it got warm. We had, in fact, a couple of weeks ago here, we had that really warm and had a bunch of snow on the ground, melted it all off, which was actually good because now the lakes are freezing up pretty hard on top, and we've got a good layer of ice, and we're, with the cold temperature we've had over the last week or so, we're making ice out there.
Yeah, John, I would expect shucks here, looking forward for the next couple weeks, definitely a little more consistent ice. It's getting thicker. Some of the lakes, you know, had six, maybe some of the deep natural lakes a little bit less, maybe two or three. But once things froze over, should be looking good for this winter, I think.
Well, you know, talking to guys that were in Minnesota, too, they figure over northern Minnesota, they were a couple of weeks behind as far as making ice out there. So, you know, it's kind of dragging its feet, getting going. But we've had some pretty consistent cold temperatures over the last week here or so. And I don't know if we're going to get much snow. We don't have a lot of snow yet. And, you know, if we get, we're sooner or later we get here in January, we're going to get more snow, I think.
Yes, I would suspect so, but you know, with that snow gone now, yeah, it'll have some time to build some ice. And actually, yeah, we did have a decent amount of snow. It was regional, depending where you were. And yeah, that warm spell that made twisters and all that stuff, well, basically got rid of it.
Well, you know, the good thing about that is that I'm wondering if the lack of amount of snow piled up on that ice is going to keep a few more green weeds out there in the lakes because of light penetration. Maybe we'll have a little bit more better shallow water fishing maybe a little bit later into the winter here.
That could be too.
Yeah. You know, and that's exactly what happens. With the more snow you get and the more opaque the ice. Right now we got some pretty clear ice and you start getting a lack of light down there, the weeds start to die off, and a lot of the fish move out of that because they don't want to be in dying weeds. If you're looking for weeds out there in the wintertime, or any time of the year for that matter, but you want to find the greenest weeds you can find because that's what will hold the fish, it seems like.
Yep, I know I fish a couple lakes that have this real narrow kind of cabbage type, but it's a narrow, not so much the broadleaf musky cabbage, but the other cabbage, yeah. Fish really love relating to that stuff, and it seems like a lot of it stays green even through the winter. The early ice, there's 3 inches of ice, you can see it standing on top of it. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, and there's certain types of weeds that tend to stay green a little bit longer. So, you know, as far as looking for the weeds, obviously we can't see under the ice very well. That's where underwater cameras can really come in handy because, you know, if you get out there other than snagging the weeds and dragging them up on a fish hook, you can actually take a look down there and see what you've got, too, if you've got clear enough water to do it, especially on some of our clear lakes. That cameras, got its places. It's not, you know, some people I've seen where it's really beneficial to catch real light blatant bluegills where you look down at them and watch them actually take the bait, but The biggest thing I use a camera for is to, for the most part, is either try to keep kids entertained if you got guiding out there and you got kids and they want to watch and see the fish. But the biggest thing for me is actually, you know, finding those green weeds and finding where that the fish should be.
Yes, and on a clear water lake, that's where the camera can really shine, too. I was fishing one a couple of years ago, and I have a handheld AquaView. It's really, really nice. It fits right in your coat pocket. But just putting that down, I was able to see, like, exactly where the weed line was, and actually to be able to see the weeds. They were nice and green, and then it was cool. A muskie swam by, you know. It's like, oh, that's pretty neat. It'd be cool if it had a record feature. I'm sure some of the fancier ones do.
You bet. Well, I've got ones that do have record. But, you know, the other thing, too, is a kind of a neat feature is if people want to try it, if they're in fairly clear water, they can see it. In this water, you can actually go to a little bit more stained water, too, because you want to put the camera in the down view mode where you hook it so that the camera's looking straight down. And put it over the top of your jig, and you can be a foot or two over your jig, and you can actually watch the bluegills come up and suck it in. Before you ever feel a bite or feel anything, you can actually see it disappear in their mouth. And I've used that sometimes where guys are not having, you know, big success at hooking fish. And the kids like it, too, because they can watch the fish come up and actually eat the bait. But, you know, the camera's got its place, but our electronics is the big thing. And having a GPS out there is a real benefit now because, you know, for years we ran the Vexilars and Flashers, and we still run them, and a lot of guys still rely on them. But now you've got a lot of the newer graphs like the Hummingbird Helixes and stuff coming out that are side-by-side. They have a GPS built into them, and you can actually use your waypoints from the summertime, and you can actually use, you know, the Lake Master Lake Maps, which are pretty accurate and find spots, because that makes a big difference on getting where the fish are.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, I take one of my smaller ones, my Helix 7. I think it's a Generation 2, maybe Generation 3. I just use the map. There's a little secret you got to do just to get it to map feature. Otherwise, it plays store mode or whatever. But anyway, yeah, I either mount that on my snowmobile, on the Bearcat. I'll put it on the four-wheeler, maybe on the side-by-side. Otherwise, I actually made a little case for it, and I can just hook it up to a battery, too. Keep it in a little case and just kind of walk around with it if you're going out with a sled. So it's real handy for showing contour humps. Just like you're in a boat and having your waypoints from the summer.
Yeah, anybody that's not tried that, though, the lake maps, if you go to the paper maps that are available, not near the detail. I've actually seen where I could see little tiny, you know, very minor ins and outs along the edge of a drop-off, and on that inside turn is where we caught the fish, and the map was dead on accurate. And nothing is 100%, but they're pretty darn good. Let's talk about presentation for panfish out there. You know, we always string up when we're out there fishing, me and you, and we got a guide party, we'll string up a bunch of tip-ups looking for walleyes and northern pike. But the panfish, get the guys panfish jigging. You know, sometimes it makes a difference. There's times when it doesn't make a difference, but there's times when it makes a real difference on, you know, the size of the jig, the color of the jig, what you're using for bait. These fish can get awful picky sometimes.
Yes, I know. From this, the past couple weeks, I've been getting out here fishing some shallow lakes and some mid-range lakes, like with a deep hole. And it seems like for me, yeah, the tungsten jig type's been working, but not too big. Maybe it was the weather. Kind of the smaller ones. Yeah, I like the Acme brand particularly. I know I think they're getting more popular, kind of spendy, but like on one of the lakes, yeah, I was fishing 27 feet, so it was a basin type thing. And there's crappies suspended anywhere from, you know, closer to bottom to 10 feet up. And yeah, using a little gold jig, tungsten jig. They were going all over that, so that was pretty cool. And then, you know, that worked. Another one was, again, not too big of a jig, but horizontal. And then I tipped it with a crappy plastic with no waxy, and that worked real well too. And that was that was your typical classic, using a Vexilar. Fishing 20 some feet of water and getting to see where all the panfish are hanging out. You know, and then we tried some minnows too. The minnows, they just didn't have as much of an interest. fished another a shallower area where there was some stumps and scattered weeds, stuff like that. It seemed like, yeah, there was a little darker water. So, yeah, a little glow jigs. The fish were right tight to the bottom, and it's almost on that Vexlar using that flasher. You're jigging, you see your jig, and all of a sudden, whoop, it almost comes right off the bottom. And, you know, that's your mark of a bluegill, a perch, or crappie. Sometimes crappie's a little higher. So those are just, yeah, from the last week or two, some examples of some of my pan fishing that I've been getting out and what I've been seeing anyway.
I know sometimes if you don't assume that they're just not biting, because it could be what you're doing, because a lot of times what I'll do is if I'm not getting much of a bite, I will go down in smaller jigs and you know, go down a little bit lighter line, even a little bit more finesse type presentation. And that's where the tungsten really comes in good too, because the tungsten jigs are heavier for the size. So basically you can put a pretty tiny jig on and, you know, still have to wait to get it down there in 18, 20 feet of water you're looking at. And I noticed something new this year. Northland Tackle has got some new jigs out where they had the popular jigs that were lead. Now they're available in tungsten. And the one key thing is what I kind of interested in is they've got bigger hooks on them. So, and I think that bigger hook sometimes can be kind of important as far as getting a hook in those fish. You can go too tiny with the hooks too sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes... Yeah, for example, it's a very popular Mississippi River area, the Pierced. And it's real tiny jig. It has a little bit of rubber and just this tiniest little hook. But for really fussy, cold front fish, it works really good around here, too. I have some friends that fish down that way, and they got me on. They're the Pierced jigs. However, yeah, challenging. You miss a lot of fish with them, but they produce, too.
Yeah.
So...
Well, you know, the thing, too, is the fish move a lot. They move a lot more than people imagine. I mean, I've been watching fish with live sonar this year and talking to other people I know that have the newer live sonar, and it's amazing how much these crappies will move around. You know, it's, you know, up till now, like open water, for instance, you get on a school of fish and you catch one, two, or three of them, and you kind of assume that they quit biting. Well, they didn't quit biting. They just moved another 50, 20 feet or 30 feet off the side. They're moving around, and they can actually move around pretty quick. And it's not just panfish, but especially walleyes. Walleyes tend to move around a lot, and, you know, they're patrolling out there, moving around, and, you know, drilling more holes, moving around, and not staying in one spot. You know, that's okay in the evening if you're sitting on a really good piece of structure. I don't care whether you're open water or whether you're fishing into a hole in the ice. If you've got a really good piece of structure that you know the fish are going to be on, you wait for the fish to come to you. But otherwise, you can move around and just, you can actually sometimes get into the fish by, especially the crappies when they're out there in the basin, they tend to roam a lot.
Yes, yeah, being mobile, whether that's when the ice is thick enough, having the side-by-side or snowmobiles, ATVs, you know, it's good to have six, and side-by-side, probably eight. You know, it's all dependent on what the lake, but yeah, being able to move around, yeah, having the, you know, a smaller flip type shack, those are a little quicker than even the portable hub type ones, because you got to put them back in the bag and stake them down if it's windy. But yeah, so, yeah, for example, yeah, and some of the flowages, just being able to, yeah, try a spot for 20 minutes, and maybe it's even in the same area, but the area is the half a mile long. Well, it's okay to move around too instead of sit all day, but to each his own as well. So,
well, one little trick I found over the years, and I've done this to several snowmobiles. I've got a 2018 Skidoo Grand Touring right now, which I kind of craft up a box assembly. I put a big Plano trunk on the back where I can carry all of my jigs in and carry a portable auger with electric drill on it. But I've also, the key thing is I have a depth finder on it, and up in the glove compartment I have the transducer, so I can pull up to a spot, grab the auger off the back, drill a hole, throw the depth finder transducer in the water, the depth finder and the GPS is mounted on the handlebars, and I can see what's going on, nothing going on, pull the transducer up, fire up a snowmobile, move 50 feet or 100 feet or whatever, drill another hole, drop it in real quick, and move around. And you can actually set almost any ATV or snowmobile up to do that. And if you're kind of handy with tools, you can build a lot of stuff. There's stuff that's available, too, you can buy, but I tend to just kind of craft all my own attachments and stuff, and it, you can make a pretty good customized snowmobile or ATV or side-by-side for ice fishing without spending a huge amount of money, too.
Yes, and I remember, last season when we were guiding, you had that set up, dropping out the transducer, and I liked that idea. I didn't have the transducer, so I just had the map. That was pretty cool.
Yep, the snowmobile makes a good seat to sit on, too. So anyway,
exactly.
Tom, I know you're doing some guiding this winter. I will be doing a little bit. If we get any groups, we kind of will team up sometimes. But how does anybody get a hold of you if they're looking to get you for a guide business and stuff?
Yeah, you can get a hold of me at TomLeahyGuideService.com or 715-558-6755.
Okay, well, thanks, Tom, for coming on the show here.
Thank you, John.
Well, folks, you know we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine folks that make this show possible every week. We come back, we'll have even more on your outdoors, so stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
Pet owners, if there's a word better than inexpensive, it's free. Hayward Animal Hospital has always offered a free wellness exam with the vaccination of your pet. Your cat or dog will be given the highest quality and most comprehensive vaccines available to ensure continued protection against a variety of diseases with no hidden exam fees. The next time your pet needs vaccinations, consider a free wellness exam and Dr. Ostrander's over 30 years of experience. Hayward Animal Hospital is located on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and on this segment of the show, we talk ice fishing panfish with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Kyle Sorensen. Kyle, when it comes to panfish out there, you have any tips for our listeners out there?
One thing I've been playing around with is jigging for crappies with a little bit bigger equipment. I've been using small jigging wraps and some spoons for the crappies versus just your typical tungsten and a waxy.
You know, that's something I've been trying for a long time and doing even in open water. And, you know, these crappies, they've got a pretty big mouth. They'll actually hit something a lot bigger. People think that, you know, you got to have these little bitty things for crappies. That's not true.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I've been also trying the jigging wraps as well. Have you done much jigging wrap fishing?
Yeah, you know, and I use a lot of the Northland puppet minnows in the real small size too, but you've got a whole wide slew of stuff out there.
Yeah, absolutely, and they all seem to work pretty good.
You know, and one thing too is even with plastics and stuff, you know, everybody wants the one-inch stuff, and you know, I went to the 2.5-inch gulp minnow for crappies, and I catch better crappies and catch just as many crappies on that bigger bait.
Yeah, just when I went to a bigger bait to try to weed through some of the small fish, and it didn't seem to faze them. You still catch those small fish as well as the big fish with a big bait.
You bet. Well, talking to about the jigging spoons and the jigging wrap type baits, is there any particular way you're finding works better for them?
Yeah, typically, I'm not afraid to work it real aggressive. I typically start out using the more aggressive, and then if they aren't biting it, then I'll start to slow it down or possibly downsize. But typically, I go big and fast right away and downsize and slow down if I have to.
Well, Kyle, how does anybody get a hold of you here if they want to go out and get a guide trip with you?
If anybody wants to get a hold of me, you can look me up on Facebook at Kyle Sorensen or call my cell phone at 715-558-8911.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at wnoradio.net. And from there, you can link to our podcast site. And the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm gonna take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.